You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Guest of the show this morning, we have Lady Six here to talk about her new album, Le Va. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very good. How are you doing?
I am doing stellar. Thank you very much. I had to do two shifts yesterday, and I've still got a lot of energy.
Wow, look at you go. Why? Yeah. Why? Where do you get your energy from? Is it the Weet-Bix you're eating?
I do eat the everything peanut butter made by Fix and Fog. That's probably packed with nutrients. I hear your morning's been a little bit hectic.
The emergency uni emails of like, where's your essay? Like, what do you mean? The essay that was due nearly 2 weeks ago now? Like, I've sent it already. Like, yeah. No, they're like, you've sent it in the wrong place. We can see you've sent it, but you need to put it here, not there. And I don't think I'm going to be marked down for it at all.
Okay, I hope not. How much easier would it be if it was just all physical copies? You know, if it was just all paper? That'd be so much nicer.
Would it be? Oh, that's stressful though, isn't it? Like...
But isn't there something so satisfying about dropping like a 4-page, 5-page essay into a box? That's so satisfying. You know you've done it. It's less abstract than just clicking a button and that being like,
you're
right.
And there's something very old school American TV show about it, isn't it? Like where you like sort of like have this whole like paper clipped and then they give it back to you and it's like got D and you're like, damn it.
So true. Now you are Lady Six. Are you afraid of Lady Seven?
Never. All the ladies are my besties. No matter what the number, we are all one big group of witches. It's all good.
Okay. I'm glad. Because I've heard some people are afraid of Lady Seven, but not Lady Six. That's beautiful. That's great. How has 2025 been for you, man? It's we're halfway through the year.
How
you feeling? How you doing?
Like, semester one was pretty full on, actually. Like, we're indie, so I had to organize, along with my team, the tour, which was it's like a massive admin mission. To organize a tour, we started in October last year organizing this tour this year.
Sheesh.
So, we had another tour, a small run in November, and, so it was kind of like off the back of that tour, we understood how we were going to run this tour. And it was just a huge mission. We had to do the album release with a whole different team of people. Mm-hmm. So it's funny, when we're talking about like paper, handing in paper essays, actually it just, all the organization of this, so included like a lot of face-to-face meetings, a lot of brain work and a lot of like computer admin. And then added on to that, I also had uni work and I did summer school. So it was like, it's just a big, massive mission. And now semester's over. So Dunedin is the first place that we're coming to where I'm just like, we're going hard. Like, we're going hard. It's party. It's hang. It's chill. It's holiday for me. I can't express how much I'm so looking forward to it. Mm-hmm.
And we're very looking forward to having you, man. This is a 10-date tour that is a lot of admin. And it's all for your new record, Le Va, which is a fantastic album. It's a tribute to your mother, her influence, and the absence she's left. On the back of the vinyl, there's a beautiful picture of you and her. And I want to know, what is the story behind that picture? You know, what do you think that image symbolizes or memorializes her as?
That image is such a goodie. I'm 16 in that photo, but just quickly, I was just going to say, I think we've got 12 shows.
New Zealand. Yeah, yeah.
No, also we have a little private show in Wellington that's not advertised. Oh. And Nelson, we had a second show, organised a second show because the first one sold out. Mm. I was like, wait, 11, like, how much is it? that picture is, I'm 16. The situation is my parents have bought me and my little sister, who would have been like 14, 15 at the time. They brought us to Tanzania. We lived there for a couple of years while they did community work. My mum worked at this place called Watoto Ya Kesho, which means children of tomorrow, which was like this little like kids that didn't have places to live. They lived in this like residential center. My mom sort of managed that. And then my dad worked in like a drop-in center for kids that were living on the street.
Wow.
And yeah.
Wow, Tanzania. That's quite a story.
And that place, that photo was taken because I was a very bougie girl. Like, I hated like anything to do with like having to live rough. I'm still kind of a little bit like a lux lady like that. But I was really like, I was really appalled at the conditions of like just everything, you know. And so my mum was like, today we're going to find the fanciest restaurant that is here, and we're going to like, we're going to live at large. We're going to order wine. We're going to sit at this table. I mean, I didn't drink. I was only 16. But, you know, she was like, she was desperate for it also. I'm very much my mother's daughter in that way. She was like, I need something that's like a little bit, a touch of luxury.
Some creature comforts, you know.
That was us at that restaurant. She was like, she was so happy smoking away, just like having the time of her life. We're decked out in our tie-dye, obviously. So, no, it was... great memory, and my little sister took that photo of me and her.
Yeah, it's a very special photo, man. And I think this records a lot of things, but chiefly among them, you've said that it's a farewell and a becoming. It's a farewell to your mother, among many things. What is it that you're becoming?
I think it's like a new iteration of myself. It was one of these really hard things. Sometimes I wonder, like, how much do I talk about this? But sometimes when a really important person in a large family, when they pass, it actually can fracture the family in some way.
Oh, just for sure, yeah.
The entire way that it went down. My mom died on day one of COVID lockdown, like literally the day of you know what? Yeah, everyone had been at my sister's house up here in... Tamaki, everybody had been there for. She wanted to party and smoke and drink wine. That was her, like, when she decided, no, I'm going home. I'm going home and I'm going to party and smoke cigarettes in the lounge. And we were like, okay, Mom, let's go. And so we did that with her, and it was all her choice. And she was Manawahine like that, so of course it was going to happen like that. So everybody left, and when everybody left, she passed just with her kids, which was amazing for us. We all got locked in together. There's six of us and our kids. So it was just like this my poor sister's tiny little three-bedroom house, just with packed like sardines with all of us in there and Mum. And unfortunately, just the whole situation plus other things, layered things, caused a massive fracture. So for me, it was like my final... I guess goodbye to Mum, or my final way of honouring her and immortalising her at this in the same time, and then also accepting the fact that my family is now forever different and the new iteration of what my life looks like and what my family life looks like begins from here on, you know.
The album is quite a concept record with small portions at the end of certain songs breaking off into spoken word pieces, not dissimilar to Kendrick Lamar's To Pimp a Butterfly. And they really reinforce the album's themes of loss, healing and transforming. Now, is that something that you wanted to do for a while? And did you have any trouble syncing up those portions of spoken word with the songs?
Yeah, no, I didn't have any trouble at all. I had this amazing poet... she's a poet from Aotearoa. Her name is Grace Iwashita Taylor. And she has been in the spoken word community since its inception up here in Tamaki. And she has this beautiful book called Full Broken Bloom, which I have a copy of here somewhere on my bookshelf. But she... I basically went through it and I notarized it with little, like... what the hell do you call these stickers?
Oh yeah,
What are these?
They're like like post-it notes, but they're like post-it slivers. Yeah,
post-it slivers. So I slithered out her book.
Sliver of meat.
Slithered. All right, from now on.
Okay.
Can you ever tell me different? That makes total sense that it's slithered. Oh my god, I can't even say it now.
Hey, it's 9:06 in the morning. We're all
free coffee for me. But so I know exactly which poems I wanted, actually. Mm. And they're actually usually much longer works. And then her and I sat down and we listened to the record and we put them in order like a little puzzle. So for me, it felt a little bit like the record itself felt a little bit too disjointed without her poetry kind of like connecting it like lifeblood and actually telling the one story, the one narrative. Mm. Otherwise it was, yeah, I felt like it was jumping from like one thing to one thing and there was no like something holding it going, no, this is actually one person's life.
Yeah.
One narrative over a big span of time. Yeah, so I feel like that's what that does.
It's the glue of the record.
It's the glue of the record. Weirdly, though, but this is the thing, is every poem belongs to the next song. So the way that we've had to structure it is that the poem comes at the end, but actually that end poem is
introducing the next topic.
Of that, yes, exactly. Oh, you noticed that. Okay, good. Yeah. I was like, what, are people going to get it if we put it this way? Like, but we had to do it that way. Otherwise, the songs would have all started with the poems, and we didn't want it. We wanted the song to start first on all digital platforms and stuff. So, yeah.
Of course. Not only is that part of the record's concept, but, I mean, the title, Liver, is named after the Samoan concept, which kind of means the space that relates, and it's also about upholding the importance of relationships, kind of similar to whanaungatanga, I'm guessing?
Yeah, a little kinda. Bit. Yeah, totally.
How did that concept inform the music on the album?
I mean, it's all literally about it. It's all about that, like, human, I mean...
Or the instrumentation, I guess.
Oh, the instrumentation is like, I have no idea. It's not even anything I even worked on. But it's interesting though, because I write my parts and then it gets translated by Parks into how he interprets musically what that is. I think all the arpeggio and all the synths are a part of that. I love how he's left so much space in every single production, and I think that that's also part of it. Isn't that awesome to be like a musical representation of sort of the unspoken space between a person and their loved one?
Mm.
Just actually genuinely creating just a lot of space because it's in all the unsaid, you know? Like, it's like how Sheila E. says rhythm is in the space between the notes, you know? It's like that same kind of, that is Liver.
I
love that.
I feel that in particular on two tracks, which I talked to you about before, on Fractions and Under It, and how they build up over each other. And there is a lot of space in those in the songs. And also with the spoken word sections, like the instrumental backing for that is very dreamy, very ethereal, very of another world, you know?
Yeah, isn't that good? That's so good. See, this is the thing. I get surprises all the time with the production because I'm like, oh, here's the poems. And then I go in and I record them cold, you know. There's no music. And then he'll add the music and then I'll be like, oh, that's exactly what it needed, you know. But we're totally different people, so it's quite interesting because I never know if he is going to definitely, for sure, do something that I like. But I trust that he will and he always does.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're speaking the same language, you know?
Yeah,
Language of life.
it's interesting because we're speaking two different languages, but we can still understand. It's like Māori and maybe Cook Island language. Mm. Like, it's so similar. I mean, even my mum could understand, like, Māori news. Like, she could get the gist through her understanding fluently Samoan. It's kind of, that's me and Parks. We're kind of like two, and we're in the same world.
Mm.
Ish, the same side of the world, but we're not quite exactly the same. It's great. We complement each other in so many ways.
It's a Venn diagram. That's the...
It's a Venn diagram. Thank you. Yeah, we're in the centre. Yeah, exactly right. You got it.
I want to touch on grief just one more time here because it's a continual process and everyone faces it in their life multiple times and it seems like... Mm. You know, with this album being themed around loss, you've learned a lot from that experience. I want to know what has that, you know, how will that prepare you for the next time that you experience a loss like that? Because I imagine that was the first time you've experienced quite a significant loss like that.
Yeah, that's funny that you say that, because it's not the first time, actually. Our family, tragically, and I think that's part of the rupture of what happened after Mum passes, that we've actually experienced too many in such a short time of very significant losses. Mm. And Mum just happened to be the next but massive one, specifically for our family, at my immediate family. But on the whole, as a big extended family, we've, yeah, unfortunately, just sadly, had quite a few losses. And what it taught me was so many actual crucial things. One was really like that life is so precious. You get this reminder of like life is so precious, how lucky we are to live it, how lucky we are to have live in this country in Aotearoa, to have the will to be able to like control aspects of our lives that other people born in other countries do not have. Mm. There's this real appreciation and gratitude that came along with the loss of Mum. And also, honestly, from this one in particular, I have no fear of death anymore. Mm. I kind of really feel like when it's my time to go, I'm ready to go. And I'm ready to go because I really make an effort to just do what I want to do and have no regrets in any of the decisions that I make, including the really hard, tough ones. And I just don't, I mean, I'm sure I'll have a natural fear of like leaving everybody, but I don't think I fear death as much as maybe I had previous. You know, the way Mum role modeled what it looks like to go out on your own terms was everything to me. And I thought, you know what? Yeah, that's how you do it. You decide, it's up to you. Mm-hmm. You do what you want and you leave on a high.
Mm-hmm. Carpe right. diem, seize the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining me and having such an in-depth talk about the record and all those themes of the record. I really appreciate it, man. And I hope that the tour goes swimmingly. I'm very excited to see you in Dunedin.
Are you going
to
come?
Yeah, let's do it.
Kahu is such a... I just want to quickly say, Kahu, our support act, he's such a wicked rapper. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And he's a wicked rapper producer, and he's from Wally, young fella. And please come and see him too. Come check him out. Mm-hmm. Come take heaps of videos of him, post them all over social media so that everybody can start to get to know this guy. I'm really about supporting the emerging artists, and I want to big him up. And I can't wait to see you in Oti Poti.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Hell yeah. All right, take care, man. And hopefully all the traveling goes off without a hitch.
Thank you, Zach.
Amen. Take care, lady.
Bye.
Bye. All right, that was Lady Six. We're talking to her about her new record, Le Va, which is out now. We're going to play the song Under It from that record, and then we'll have a surf report at 9:30. You are listening to The One. Keep it locked.
My lover.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.